We thank God for calling this meeting. And we thank God for every one of us that has responded. Amen. So, I'm very happy to be standing before the people of God. As we look at your faces, we are encouraged that there is a hope for this message that the Lord has given to us. Amen. Because to a very great extent, it appears as if the true message of the true gospel is losing out. Hallelujah. But the truth is that the gospel abides. The word of the Lord abides. Just like that word yesterday that says, "My counsel shall stand." Amen. So the counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. So as we look at your faces, we're encouraged, we're happy that this message will yet be handed over to faithful men who will run with us and after us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. I have another request to make, that you should be responsive. Amen. What that means is, when I say amen, you will say amen in such a manner that if we said it at the same time, nobody will hear my voice because you are more. Amen. That's better. But we can do it better. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It looks like we are starting now. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's a way the word comes and you don't feel like saying amen. 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 Robert says you should say, "Oh me." Hallelujah. That means you're praying. The word is touching a particular spot in your heart. And you don't think that it's something to say, amen. The tendency is to be quiet. Don't be quiet. You say, "Oh me." That means you're praying that God should have mercy on you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father Almighty, we thank you that you have given us this chance to come and to drink at your river, to come to eat of the living bread, which has a promise that when we eat of it, we shall hunger no more. We want to confess that our hearts are very thirsty, very hungry. So we come to you this morning that you may feed us even with this living bread, that when we eat it, we will not die. We desire life desperately, for death is creeping in rapidly upon the world. Bible says that hell has expanded its mouth. We want deliverance from the pool of death and hell and darkness and iniquity. We ask that your light will come to us this morning. Oh God, let your word come to us and let it give us light and give understanding to our simplicity. We ask that our souls might be delivered, our minds delivered from wandering, that we might be able to come in and answer this great invitation to come to the feast of the Lord. We pray that we'll be delivered from the deceit of the old wine that we had drunk. In the name of Jesus, we ask that the confusion that is within our heavens may be taken away by reason of the ministry that will be given us in the course of this meeting. Oh God, we pray that your word, that you will come to us and sit as the fuller and as the refiner of silver, and that we'll be thoroughly purged. We rebuke Satan, the enemy of righteousness. We rebuke him this hour in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you rebuke and put away from us every distraction. We come against foul spirits that have crept in with wicked intentions. We bind them in the name of Jesus, and we declare that their intentions shall not come to pass. Blessed be your name. Let your spirit brood over this assembly. Let your spirit brood over and within every soul that is here, so that new things will begin to come forth in our lives to your glory, in Jesus' name. We ask for quietness. We ask for ears that are open to hear, for eyes that are open to see, for healing of our nostrils that are broken, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be a ministry unto life, and that in all things you may have the glory and the preeminence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. The ultimate thing that is coming upon the world is destruction. Amen. Because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the ultimate thing that is coming upon the world is destruction. Praise God. And the world does not know it. The world believes that what is happening is that things are getting better. There is progress in the realm of science and technology. Now we do things in better and easier ways than before. The world has become, what do they call it, global village. Amen. Everyone is near. Everything you need is near. Just with your finger, you just get anything you want. Amen. So they believe that life is better, and they will tell you that it's going to get better and better. But the truth is that why they say peace, peace, then sudden destruction. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Lord knows it. He has seen that that is what is happening. But that is not the will of God. Bible says that it is not the will of God that any man should perish. Amen. So the Lord is looking for a way to touch the hearts of men, as many as will hear. And he has made a way for men to escape the destruction that is coming. Hallelujah. And that escape is found in a person. That person is his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, God is wonderful in his ways. That's why he says that his ways are not our ways. Amen. Now, we are not keeping our agreement. We agree that when I say amen, there is something, there is a way you should do. Is that not what we agreed? Are we truth breakers? Are we truth breakers? Mm-hmm. The Bible says that at this time of the end, some people will be truce breakers. Truce breakers are people that break agreement. We agree that there should be no war. Amen. No fighting. Because what causes the fighting is that you do me like this. I do you like this. Then the other person will go and hold the other person's mouth. Then there will be a fight. It's okay. He said, he did me first. Uncle, is that? He said, okay, no problem. We will settle it after the meeting. We'll discuss it, find out who after the meeting. But meanwhile, nobody should do like this. We agree. And we go and sit down. Everybody be quiet. Then at a point, one sister turns to the other person and does. That person that did that thing is a truce breaker. He has broken the agreement for peace. Amen. So we have an agreement. I'm going to be keeping my own agreement. Because I'll keep saying amen. I'll keep saying praise God. I'll keep saying hallelujah. Make sure you don't break your own agreement. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I say that God is wonderful. His ways are wonderful. And he said that his ways are not our ways. Praise God. Some have forgotten. Praise God. You know, I'm a teacher. I believe in testing. We go, I will test. Amen. I will keep testing whether you're keeping the agreement. Amen. So, his ways are not our ways. So wonderful that God, the same person that he has positioned to be our escape from the destruction, is also the same person that he has appointed to be the judge of the whole world. Hallelujah! Praise God. And God is also wonderful because the people that will hear his word, whom he will select, those who will obey his invitation, those who will find that escape route, he says that those same people are the people with whom he's coming to judge the world. Amen. So there is judgment coming. That judgment actually is the destruction. But it is the people that are called out from the midst of those that were heading for or are heading for destruction. Those people he will select from among them are also going to be the people that he's going to use in bringing judgment. Amen. Praise God. Too many things in my pocket. I'm trying to locate which side my glasses are. Babe, did you see my glasses? Where's my wife? Amen. Did she leave? Brother, lend me your big Bible then.
I think so.
Yes. Oh, we can exchange again. Let's exchange. You know, the devil tries to play tricks. Amen. Once you overcome his ploy, he withdraws. Did you understand what happened now? I kept my glasses here. The devil said, it's not here. I have lost it and I wasn't able to be reading. Therefore, what would we do? We say, brethren, sorry, we can't go on with the message. That's what he thought. But as soon as I got a bigger print, he knew he had lost it. So, no need to keep hiding the glasses. Amen. Does that teach us a thing? Yes, when the devil is troubling you, don't be troubled. Just step across. Find a way in God to pass by. And it's the end. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to Jude. Jude. Okay, some people don't know that Jude is in the Bible. They only know it as somebody's name. So he said, let's go to Jude. Say, are we going to Jude? Amen. You know where Jude is? Jude is in your Bible. Find it. Jude has only one chapter. So people do not say Jude chapter 1 because it's only one chapter. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to start from verse 14. Amen.
Amen.
And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Amen.
Amen.
Have you seen that place? Now, you can underline that particular piece. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. What does that mean? What it means is that if you count from Adam, you count Adam, the next person, then the seventh person is a man called Enoch. Praise God. Now, that's an assignment. By the time we gather tomorrow, we expect somebody. We expect all of you. Not somebody. All of you. So that it will not be that if somebody you ask, bro, did you find the place? Say, yes, okay. Then you relax because somebody has found it. But we expect all of us to be able to tell us where in the Bible that proves that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Is that okay? Tomorrow, all of us should show. Praise God. So, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Enoch prophesied. Adam also prophesied. Do we know that Adam was a prophet? Because the Bible didn't say prophet Adam. Adam was a prophet. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Adam, when he saw his wife for the first time, one of the things he said is, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Amen.
Amen.
As at that time, the concept of father and mother had not come into existence. Because Eve had not given birth to who and who? Wait. Eve had not given birth to who and who? Brother. No. This brother here. Yes. Eve had not given birth to who and who? That's expo you did. Okay, so let another person answer it because you have exposed it to that brother. Okay, so Eve had not given birth to who? And who, brother? No, the one in front of you. Yes. Yes, who and who? Who were the people that Eve gave birth to? Eve's children, what were their names? Cain and Abel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so at that time, he had just met his wife for the first time. They have not lived together. No child had been born. So the concept of father and mother had not existed. And yet, Adam has said that a man will have to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Praise God. That was prophetic. And there were many other such things. So, Enoch was the seventh prophet from Adam. And he prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So here, Enoch was prophesying of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Enoch. Long ago, the seventh person, he could see into our time. This time when we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And he was saying that when the Lord will come, he's not coming alone. He's coming with his saints. And his saints is coming with 10,000s. Amen. Did you see? It didn't say 10,000. It said 10,000. Did you notice that? That means 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000. We don't know how many 10,000s. It's 10,000s in plurality. 10,000s of his saints. So the 10,000s there may be over billions and trillions. Do we have quadrillions? But there are 10,000s, 10,000s of his saints. And who are the saints? The saints are those of us who have gone into glory. Amen. Who have gone to sleep. The word says, who are dead. But believe me, and I'm speaking the word of the Lord, and that's what the Lord says. People of God don't die. Amen. Now say it after me. People of God don't die. Say it. Amen. They sleep. Because they will wake up again. Hallelujah. They wake up again. So if somebody, something happens, and they say, this person is dead, don't just start crying immediately. Don't start crying immediately. Check the records. How has the person lived? Ask the Lord, is this person your child? He says, yes. If that person is your child, then how you will cry is the way you will cry if your daddy is traveling overseas. Amen. Maybe he's traveling overseas to stay, like Brody will be traveling to Laka very soon. And he's going to stay there 1 whole year. 1 whole year. Amen. And I think Baruch is going to be here. So she can shed some tears that daddy is going to be away. Mommy is going to be away for 1 whole year. She can shed some tears. But she will not weep like them that have no hope. Amen. Because she knows that after 1 year, daddy and mommy will be back again. Amen. Now that's what we should understand. We should not be behaving like unbelievers who don't understand. Anybody that they don't see, they start crying. Everybody they don't see, they start crying. No, when your brother or your sister in the Lord has gone, you don't have to cry. Well, you may cry because you're going to miss the person for a long time, but you're not going to cry like those who don't have any hope. Amen. Praise God. So, all those brethren who have gone, they are going to join in the mighty throng. Mighty throng. Hallelujah. That is the army of God who are coming. Let's go back there. He cometh with tens of thousands of his saints. What are they coming for? They are coming to eat chicken in the sky and rice and be throwing the bones at the unbelievers on earth. Haven't you heard that before? Haven't you heard about the marriage feast of the Lord before? Oh, that's what some people preach. That the Lord is coming, then we'll go and meet him in the air. I will be eating rice and chicken there. I will be throwing the bones at the unbelievers on the earth. That is old wives' tales. Amen. Bible says that we should not listen to old wives' tales. Amen. Old wives' tales is the tale of tortoise and spider. That the tortoise was to cross a big river. He didn't know how to cross. He called the spider, and he was on the back of the spider, and the spider was releasing the web and carrying him. And the tortoise said, "Ah, my brother spider, the way you are releasing this web, are you sure you will survive? If you do it this year and you survive, next year I will join you in this business of spinning web." And the spider got angry and caught the web. Then the tortoise fell into the river. And when he landed there, the fish ran. They said, "No, no." He said, "Don't run, don't run. I'm your great uncle long ago. I've come back. Come, don't you see? I was like you. I have grown. See, you can really grow like me. And I'll tell you how to grow. See, make fire and put a pot and oil inside it. Eh? That's how to grow. So when I'll be singing, you'll be jumping inside. Why? Who is the first person? He sang. The first person sang. You know when fish is flying, it does like this. They said, "Don't you see? This one has grown. You jump in too." Now those things are not true. Are they true? Did the tortoise ever ride on the back of the spider? Is it possible? So they are old wives' tales. So when somebody is looking at the Bible and he says this thing means that, you see, you're going to eat rice and chicken in the sky, and then you'll be throwing the bones on the unbelievers on the ground. It's like those Sadducees that went to Jesus and they said, "See, a man gave birth to 7 sons. The first one married. They didn't have any issue. And he died. Then the other one married her, no issue. The other one married her, no issue. Until all of them married her and all of them died, no issue. And the woman also died. So when they were at the resurrection, which of them is going to be her husband? Or do you think that they are all going to be fighting? Or would they all marry her? You don't have polygamy, which you say is not right. So who will be the husband? Jesus laughs. Say, look at these people. This is old wives' tale. They don't know the scripture. They don't know the things of God. They don't know the power of God. See, at resurrection, there is not going to be any marriage. Because they are going to be like the angels of God. So the point you're trying to make does not come at all. Amen. Now, at resurrection, it is not a matter of eating rice and chicken and throwing bones. And in the first place, we're not going to hang in the sky. Hallelujah. One man had his marriage feast in the sky. And as soon as they landed, the marriage broke. That was Abiola's son. They had the marriage feast in the aeroplane flying around. But that's not what the word of God is talking about. So what are they coming to do? Verse 15. What are they coming to do? I think we have it here. Yes, I want somebody to read for us what they are coming to do. Estilo, are you reading that for us? When the saints are coming, what are they coming to do? Amen. Hallelujah. So we see ungodliness to the fourth dimension. When ungodliness rises to the fourth dimension, judgment will come.
Amen.
Now he says that the reason the saints are coming is that they are coming to bring judgment, execute judgment. Praise God. You either execute judgment or you will suffer judgment. There is judgment coming. Destruction is coming. You will either be on the side of those executing the judgment, or you will be on the side of those receiving and suffering the judgment. And that's very important. Now, that's why we are gathered in this room. We are gathered for decision making, for choice making. Where do you want to be? We did not come here so that we see that brother we have not seen for a long time, or the sister we have not seen for a long time. We are not here, brethren, so that we exchange contacts and we have people we'll be chatting with or making phone calls with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in some places they say, sister, you are not married. Better try and go out small. Amen. Amen. There is a conference taking place in Ibadan or Lagos at the Camp of Faith. Go there. Do yourself fine. Go there. So that maybe somebody can see you. That's not why we are here. We have come here to say, Lord, please choose me among those your saints and soldiers that will execute judgment. Amen. There is ungodliness in the world, and it has reached the point that now is time to judge ungodliness. If ungodliness is found in us, we'll be judged. So by coming here, we are receiving an opportunity to be cleansed of ungodliness. And when that happens, you are now on the side of those that will execute judgment. Praise God. So, why are we? Did we read this place? To show us the wonderful works of God. The man that God has appointed to execute judgment is also the man that God has appointed to provide a way of escape from that judgment. Amen. Then the people that are due, are accounted for, that deserve judgment, are the ones he is also giving the opportunity to escape. And now be the ones to execute judgment. Amen. So, if you have come here today and you have ungodliness in you and you are due for judgment, God is looking at you as one who has come so that you have the opportunity to escape and be enlisted in his army. Amen. Let's put it in another way. The world is against God. But God is saying, who is on my side? Amen. Moses went up the mountain to get the covenant, the law. And while they were there, the rest of Israel, they got up and they began to play. And they began to worship idols. God came down. That was ungodliness. So it was destruction. But before he would carry out that destruction, he said, who is on the Lord's side? Amen. Who is on the Lord's side? And certain men stopped and they ran over to God's side. Amen. And they became those. He said, now every man draw your sword and put it in the tummy of your friend. Amen. So, 1 minute, somebody was an ungodly person. Next minute, he's now the judge of ungodliness. That's the opportunity God is giving every one of us this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know, there were certain men there who continued with what they were doing. So this Moses, he has not even told us where he has been. Don't mind him. Come, my dear. And they continued with what they were doing. And before they knew it, the sword was in their tummy. Hallelujah. So let us not sleep this morning. We are in for serious business. Don't sleep. If sleep is worrying you, stand up. Amen. Stand up, shake your leg and say, loose me, loose me, loose me. Hallelujah. And please don't let your brother sleep. If your brother is sleeping, touch him a little. Amen. Praise God. You know, there's something I tell my students. I go from class to class and I keep looking. Then I tell them, sleeping in the morning causes poverty. Amen. Amen. You see, those sleeping are not keeping our agreement. They're not saying amen. So I'm just... Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's come back to this. To execute judgment upon the ungodly. So today, join me to make up, let's make up our minds that we'll be among those that will wreak judgment upon the world. Now, how do you come to be among those that will execute judgment upon the world? Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Are we there? Are we at chapter 6 of Hebrews? Amen. We want somebody to read for us. Yes, read. Can you give her the mic? Stand so that he will see you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Start again. Start again. Doctrine. Call it doctrine. Mm-hmm. Now, excuse me, sister. Read what is there. It's not doctrines. It's doctrine. That's what is there. Now read. Eternal judgment. Let no man deceive you. There's going to be judgment. Amen. Bible said that we all shall stand before the judgment seat of God. And every man will give an account of all that he has done in his body. Amen. There is a record. There is a record, a computer. And that computer is within you. It's part of your soul. It's called your conscience. It is taking a record of everything you are doing in your body. Amen. Amen. You know, there is in your phone is a computer. Everything you're doing in your phone is being recorded right in your phone. That is also how it is. You have God's computer within you. It's called your conscience. It is taking a record of everything you're doing. It will replay. So everybody will stand before the judgment seat of God. And there will be a replay of everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is called eternal judgment. Eternal means something that is forever, that cannot be reversed. Praise God. So God tells us that this is the time to take care of it. Scripture says if we judge ourselves, there will be no more judgment for us. Amen. Now that judgment you give now is the first of the doctrines mentioned. Let's look at it. Verse 1. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Amen. From dead works. I can see that some people are writing it down. That's the right thing to do. So if you're not writing it down, join them. Write it down. Don't allow your mind to deceive you. Your mind will say, see, I'm sharp. I'll catch it. I won't forget. Write it. Another deceit is, I already know it. I have read it many times. I have memorized that scripture. I have this strong temptation to call the names of brethren that are sleeping and tell them to stand, but I'm struggling. Amen. So help your friend not to embarrass me. When I now call somebody to stand, I will have embarrassed myself. Amen. Amen. You are not responding well anymore. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know why you're not responding well. Because you're not expecting that I'm going to do a miracle. Yes. Amen. If I say that 50 people in this audience are going to receive new jobs where they'll be paying them $100 million every month in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All those that are going to write school certificate this year coming, you're all going to make all A's in Jesus' name. Amen. As many people seated here, as we take heed unto this word, they are going to become saints in Jesus' name. And they are going to receive a capacity to judge ungodliness in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so the first thing there is repentance from dead works. If you are going to be part of the army of God, that's what it means to be part of the army of God or a soldier of the cross, is that you are being enlisted amongst those that are going to judge ungodliness, no matter the type of ungodliness. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you want to be that, the first thing that will happen is that you must believe this doctrine. This is a doctrine in Christ. Very important. That's the beginning of walk with God. Repentance from dead works. It is a progressive, continual thing. Amen. Now, when people talk about repentance, they think it is, come forward here. If you have not been a member of this church before, raise your hand. You raise your hand. Say, come forward. You come forward. Now say after me. Lord Jesus, today, I give my life. Give my life. Come into my heart. Come into my life. In Jesus' name. Now you are a child of God. You are born again. Praise the Lord. And then you have repented. Don't mention repentance again. No, don't let anybody make you feel guilty and talk about repentance again. You have repented. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Repentance means day by day, the Lord shows you how unworthy you are. He points to you that in your life which he does not like. As you're growing, as you're understanding the ways of God, he is pointing things to you, and you are continually turning unto God. That is repentance. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That is repentance. Now, repentance means turning away. To turn away from that which is not of God. Turn away from darkness unto light. Turn away from sin unto righteousness. That is repentance. Now, it says, from dead works. Dead works are works that have no life in them. Amen. Works that have no life in them. Things that do not produce fruits, they say they are dead. I give you an example. Sarah. Sarah. Who was Sarah? Huh? Adam's wife. Abraham's wife, Sarah. She had no child until she reached the point where it became impossible for her to have a child. Amen. No matter what was done, she cannot have a child. So it was said that her womb was dead. So he said that Abraham was not staggered. His faith was not moved by the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amen. What it means is that it is clear that Sarah's womb cannot produce fruits. So her womb was dead. Amen. We are going to come back here. You can put something there. But flip your Bible over to Ephesians. Amen. Which chapter is it that talks about the unfruitful works and be not and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? Am I receiving help? Ephesians. I'm trusting you to find it for me. Sorry? 5:11. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen. So you can attach there Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. That scripture teaches us what it means by dead works. Works that will not produce fruits. Amen. They will not produce godly fruits. Praise the Lord. Let's look at another scripture. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Where is it? Ephesians. Galatians, thank you. Chapter 5. Okay. Amen. Verse 19. I'm going to draw a little thing here concerning this Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to read now, and I'm going to try and read very fast from verse 19, Galatians 5, 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Okay, maybe somebody will be reading for me, and I'll be writing here. It's there in your Bible, but I'm taking time to be listing it so that you also will be listing in your own Bible. So, who is reading for us? Okay. Now, get ready. It's not only the children that will be answering the questions. And okay, the sister is on her feet already. Give her. Give the big sister. Yes. Don't worry, don't worry. Number one. Wait for me. Yes, number two. Fornication. Yes, number three.
Uncleanness.
Number four,
lasciviousness.
Okay, number five. Number five, NEPA took light. Adultery again. Idolatry. Number six,
witchcraft.
Number seven,
hatred.
Okay. Number eight,
variance.
Nine.
Emulations.
10.
Wrath.
Thank you.
Strife.
Okay.
Seditions.
Yes. Is it finished?
Yes.
Heresies. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. Can we continue reading? That's another one. Ooh. So many. Envying. Okay, go on, sister. You didn't finish. Envying. Yes. Somebody was saying murderers. Murders. 16,
drunkenness. I hope he's finished. Revelings. Revelings. Thank you. So on the other side, what do we see? But the fruits of the Spirit are... who is reading for us now? I want somebody else to read those ones. Okay, we took it from you, so you now read. You want to strive? Yeah? You just made your face as if you want to strive. Okay. So, fruit of the Spirit are one. Joy. Which one is the first one?
Love.
Oh, you confused me. You went so fast. Love, joy. Okay. Okay. Love. Two.
Joy.
Joy. Three.
Peace.
Peace. Okay. You know, people like to call their children these names. Anybody that is called Joy here? Joy. Peace. Love. Joy. Peace. People like to call their children these names, especially the girls. But I've never seen anybody called long suffering. Okay. Long suffering. You know, it's just like the ministry gifts. Amen. People like to be apostles, prophets, evangelists. The word is shepherd, but they call it pastor. So they like to be pastor. I've never seen anybody that is teacher. Why is this so? The big men of God, no one is a teacher. That is why there is so much ignorance. Amen. But let's get on. Number five.
Gentleness.
This one too. Nobody answers.
Goodness.
Then they jump. Do you notice it? Love, joy, peace, they jump to goodness. Nobody answers long-suffering. Nobody answers gentleness. You have heard gentleness before? Oh, praise God. That gives us hope. Maybe someday somebody will be long-suffering. Okay. Yes, which one now?
Faith.
Amen.
Meekness.
Huh?
Meekness.
That one too. I've seen somebody called meekness. What's the next one? I've not seen that one. Rather, what I've seen is temple. Temperance. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Forget the agreement. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, these two are placed side by side. But this one is called fruit. This one too is supposed to be fruit. But it is not called fruit because it has no life. It is dead. Amen. Now, so it's called works. Praise God. This is what the Spirit produces. So that is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the flesh produces. It should have been called the fruit of the flesh. But because it is dead, it does not bring out anything to the glory of God. So it is called what? Mere works. Praise God. So that's why we have works, not fruit, works of the flesh and fruits of the Spirit. Praise God. Now, why are we saying that? All these are said to bring us to understand what is meant by repentance from dead works. Amen. These things must be repented from. Let's begin with revelings. What is that revelings? Amen. Young people like such things. Amen. When they get to their party, so they throw their legs up, they throw their legs down, they drink, they take whiskey. Poo! And they blow it. That is reveling. Amen. That's reveling. It is it. Oh, young people like it. Some adults like it too. Amen. Adults like it. Hallelujah. But the Lord says to repent from it. You see that they are neighbors. Drunkenness. When people get drunk, they begin to revel. It affects their minds. They become over happy. Amen. They become over happy. That's why it says, give strong drink to him that he is about to perish, that he might drink and forget his sorrow. So people, when they drink, they forget their sorrow. When men don't have money and they are so sad, say, what is this life? Everything, nothing is working. I try this, nothing is working. So they go to the beer parlor. And do you know what happens at the beer parlor? If you go to the restaurant to eat, you are hungry. You get there, you can sit there all day. Nobody will give you food. Nobody will buy food for you. Nobody will say, oh boy, this one you are sitting like, you say, I'm hungry. So please give him food. No. But if you go to the drinking place, just sit down. Somebody said, boy, how you come there like this? Man? Say, my brother, say, please, give him one bottle. You should say that one go do. Give him one, or give him two. Which one you like? Beer or kai? Give him anyone where you like. You won't get, God forbid. Amen. You won't even go there. Amen. So that's what happened. So that man would drink now. He can now be happy and forget his sorrow. You join others, he said, now, this Buhari seven. If you like, said the man, and he will begin to talk. And when it comes much, when the drink fills the man, he begins to see things he shouldn't see. Amen. Another man's wife will begin to be pleasant to him. Amen. And he will begin to talk to the bad girl. That brings this one and this one. Praise God. And he begins to utter from his mouth things he shouldn't talk. Hallelujah. And that brings uncleanness. That brings lasciviousness. Another name for lasciviousness is licentiousness. It is derived from the word license. When you feel that you have license, permission, freedom to do whatever you like, it is called Nike. Have you heard Nike before? Huh? Have you heard Nike before? Yes. Nike is a god. Go to Google and research. Nike is a god. A demon god. Nike, the sign is good. Do it. Just do it. Don't think about the consequence. Don't think about whether it is right or not. Don't think about what is going to happen. Just do it. Amen. That is licentiousness. That is lasciviousness. Praise the Lord. It is very much linked to this. Emulations. Others are doing it, so I must do it. I don't want to be odd. Amen. So somebody tells you, sister or brother, don't dress like this. He said, but everybody dresses like that now. What is it? You say, you're a child of God. He said, yes, this minister, that's one minister I know. That's the way he dresses. But he's a man of God. Amen. The other person is a gospel musician and a preacher too. That's how she dresses. So, if she dresses like that, I can also dress like that. That is emulation. Do you know the thing about it? The danger of it is that you don't know. That's what you're saying. But what you're saying is that I don't go by God's standards. I go by man's standards. Amen. Now, do you know where man's standard ends? What did I write there? Can you see it? 666. Yes, that's where man's standard ends. Man as man is contrary to God. Even Brother Paul said, in me there is no good thing. Therefore, I must abandon myself and I must go after God. Amen. Abandoning myself and going after God is called what? Repentance. So that is the first standard in following God. Making up our minds that we repent from all of these things. Anything that does not glorify God. That tendency and pull to do things because other people are doing it. We must repent from it. We will do it because Jesus did it. We will do it because God does it. And God approves it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's coming low. Praise God. Amen. So that's how we'll do it. Our hairstyle is not going to be the hairstyle of the popular musician. It is going to be the hairstyle. We know that when the people of God see it, they smile. It's not going to be that they will frown. You come back from school, brethren see you, they will begin to wonder whether you are yet still in the Lord. Until they hear you speaking in tongues and say, okay, maybe he's still there. It should not be so. Amen. Amen. Ralph. I didn't spell it well. I spelled it Ralph. So let's take out this. I hope you didn't write it the way I did. Did you write it the way it is in the Bible? Or you emulated me and wrote it the wrong way? Write it the way it is in the Bible. Wrath. Anger. Anger. Somebody said that it is a high tension cable. Amen. But he said it in a positive way anyway. He says it's a high tension cable. He'll just be going his own way. Any demon that makes mistake and touches him, he will spark fire. But some people, that's how they are with their fellow human beings. Amen. You just come near, touch them, and they spark fire. That is wrath working in them. Amen. We must repent from strife. quarreling. Praise God. Hallelujah. Quarreling. Quarreling. I say, which sister should come forward and give us a special number? You raise your hand and you start coming. Then the other sister is coming too. But you were the one that stood up first. But this one walked faster. And I gave her the mic. Amen. That is strife. And the Bible says specifically that the servant of the Lord must not, that's the word, strive. That's very dangerous, which means as soon as I strive, I've disqualified myself. Amen. I disqualified myself. It's like in race, you run. Bro John, I hear that if you run from one track into another one, you are disqualified. Something like that. So we are running. I enter another man's drive. I'm first. But they say, no. He's disqualified. And so nothing comes of it. Seditions. Amen. Party spirits. Causing separations. Amen. Or keeping to your own self. Seditions. Praise God. Going on your own way. See the ways it manifests. When we were in primary school, I had a friend. We were quite close. And he was just a class ahead of me. I was in primary 4. And he was in primary 5. In those days, you read up to primary 6, or you could choose to read from, go from 5. So by the time he was in primary 5, he has gone into secondary school. And one Sunday, they came to church. The boss used to bring them to church. And they would dress in their white and white, and their canvas. And they hold their Bibles and they file in. They kept a seat in front, a row of seats in front for them. And it was so wonderful. They were just filing. I was just looking at them. I saw my friend amongst them. And they sat. So I looked this way. I moved. I went and sat by him. He's my friend. You know? And I was chewing gum. In those days, I used to chew gum. I was chewing gum and, you know. And as I was doing that, you know, it becomes so thin, the fan blew it. And the thing just went to his shirt. So he just looked at me and turned to one of his friends. I said, can you see what this boy with elementary disease has done to my shirt? Can you see what this boy with elementary disease has done to my shirt? It's describing me as a boy with elementary disease. Amen. But do you know what has happened? He has made a separation between he and me. Why? Because he's a college boy. In those days, we called them college boys. He had become a college boy. So he's no longer at my level. Amen. You know, that could also happen in the fellowship. We're all brethren, but then you go to university. Amen. And you have learned to say, a magnanimous conflagration is consuming my domiciliary edifice. Amen. And the other person is still saying, no, but it didn't get as a B. So because of it, there are brethren, and there are brethren. There are classes of brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. We can have heresies, seditions, in the sense that, you know, brethren that are in Port Harcourt, they are the landlords of this camp, you know. Brethren from Azumini and Ezebogo and, what is it called? Akwa Ibom. They are different. We are the landlords of this fellowship. So we go together and beg all these Akwaibom brethren, all these Ezebog brethren. That's sedition. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there are many versions of it, you know. There could be many versions, really. Praise God. There could be those who come to camp in the bus, the general bus, and there could be those who come to camp in their cars, you know. Amen. And so there could be classes. Among those in the university, there could be those who are studying in Nigeria and those studying overseas. But it ought not to be so. Such things should not be recognized. Amen. Follow the word of the Lord and follow the examples of those that are walking ahead of you. Amen. Like somebody like me, just a mere teacher, what do I have to do with shaking hands and talking freely with professors and calling them bro? We laugh together and we eat together, a mere teacher and a professor. Amen. And you will not know the difference if nobody tells you. When you see us all together, you wouldn't know that this one is a professor, while this one is just a teacher. You won't know. We should learn from such examples. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Then we have heresies. Heresies means it's close to sedition. Okay, you can find out what all those others mean. Praise God. Because I have to just make progress from that. And look at the next one. Hallelujah. So, what's the next one I should look at? Let me see who is following well. What's the next one I should look at? Come up. No, we have left those ones. We say you find out what those ones are. Okay? These ones, this is how your life should be. So when you repent from these, you see that your life will become like this. Amen. Now that is the life of those who are going to be part of the 10,000s of his saints with whom Jesus is coming to execute judgment. On who? The ungodly. So this is the mark of the ungodly. This is the mark of the ungodly. The ungodly are those that are going to suffer judgment. This is the mark of the saints. Those who are going to execute the judgment. Do you understand? Amen. Amen. So when somebody says, brother, why is your trouser here? And you begin to say, it's not a simple thing. That question means, are you still here? Or do you now want to be here? Are you still seeking to be among the saints that are going to execute judgment? Or are you among those that are going to suffer judgment? If somebody says, bring your phone, let me see. Let me look at what is in your phone. No, don't do that. The person is asking you, brother, are you sure you are still among the saints? Let me help you. Let's look at it together and know whether you are still among the saints or whether you are among those upon whom God is going to execute judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, having said that, let's move on to the next one. What's the next one? Huh? The next one, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Are we there? What's the next one? Faith toward God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Now, there are two standards that are in operation. One says, seeing is believing. The other one says, believing is seeing. Do you get the difference between the two? Huh? You don't get the difference. I want somebody to help us. What's the difference between seeing is believing and believing is seeing? What's the difference? Let me ask somebody that is sleeping. Okay, nobody is sleeping. Doom, are you sleeping? Okay. Who is sleeping? Okay. Who wants to answer it? The difference, okay, yes, come. Give him a mic, the brother there. Difference between seeing is believing and believing is seeing. Hallelujah.
Seeing is believing is something that you don't have to see. You have to see before you believe. But believing is seeing is you already believe what you have not seen. So you expect that it will happen, you believe it already.
Amen. Amen. Seeing is believing is Brother Thomas Didymus. That seeing is believing. Thomas Didymus. You know about him. Believing is seeing is Abraham. Hoping against hope. Praise God. There is nothing there. Yet, you go there because God says go there. And then you will see something where there is nothing. Amen. Believing is seeing is calling those things that be not as though they were. It is by faith that we believe that there is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we have never seen God physically before. But we believe that there is God. And we are seeing it. Because of our belief that there is God, because of our belief in Jesus Christ, our faith in him, we see his mighty works. We ask him things, and he does them. Praise God. When we are sick, we pray. Last Sunday, something developed here. Some big thing began to come out here. And to be painful, and really look big. Amen. Then we prayed about it and we believed God. 3 days after, it was no longer there. No sign, no pain, nothing anymore. Amen. How did it happen? God did it. It's by faith in him that we prayed. If not, God will remove it. How? How? And where is he anyway? How? But he did it anyway. So we have seen that there is God by seeing what he has done. Isn't it true? And that happened because we believed him. So believing is seeing. That is faith. In another way, faith is life in the spirit. Praise God. Faith is life in the spirit. The things that we do not see. Bible says that the things that we see were made by the things that we do not see. Praise God. Hallelujah. The things that we do not see were made by the things. Sorry. The things we see were made by the things that we do not see. I can give you a physical, secular example. Drama. On stage. when people are acting on stage, the people that made that drama to be are not the people you're seeing acting. They are behind. Amen. There is somebody that wrote the scripts that they are following, what they are saying, what they are doing. There are people that wrote it. There are people that prepared them, taught them. They took a long time. They sat there and said, hey, Urias, how to do it is, you take 3 steps, 2, 3. You swing and kick. Okay, do it. He does it. 1, 2, 3, 4. He said, no! You didn't get it. I said 3. Take it again. 1, 2, 3. You went through the left, for goodness sake. It's the right. And they kept training that man until he's not able to swing. He said, oh, you swung it over. My friend, that's not how to dodge. You see, you dodge before he swung. Wait, as the blow comes, then you dodge. He kept telling him. He kept telling him. And there are people they call prompters. Stage drama. There are people hiding here. So the man is here. And he goes talking. Talking. Then he forgets his line. He takes a step like the man reminds him. Because he's holding a book, he reminds him. And he continues talking. But you don't know what is happening. These are the people that are making it happen. So the actions, the words you are seeing on stage, you are seeing, are made by those hiding behind that you do not see. Amen. So the things that are happening in the world are being orchestrated by the things that we do not see. Spirits. Amen. When somebody holds your shirt for no reason and is shouting, child of God, you should understand that it's not him that is really doing it. Amen. There is something, there are personalities behind that you do not see that are causing that thing. When somebody starts spreading rumors about you, something you have never imagined in your life, and he begins to say that that's what you do on a daily basis, you say, what? Where is this coming from? And if you're not careful, you begin to say, what shit is this? No, that is what the devil wanted. It was the devil that made him say it. And the reason he made him say it is so that you will say, what shit is this? And he'll go and accuse you before the Father. Say, did you not say, let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth? See, this one you say is your son. He is saying shit. Is that not an evil communication? That's all the devil wanted. So, but if we are wise, we'll understand that the things that are visible are made by the things that are invisible. Amen. God made us. We do not see God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The works of the Spirit, the mighty acts of the Spirit, even the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit of God, whom we do not see. Praise God. So you see a man, people crowd him, this, that, maybe the sisters that share food. And thank God for you. God bless you, brethren. You do not stress those that share food. Do you stress them? Do you? Well, there was a man that shared food in Israel. They trampled him and he died. Do you remember? Trampled him. It's in the Bible. Do you know the story of the blind man, the lepers, that said, if we remain here, we'll die of hunger. If we go out there, they will die. But let's go. If they don't kill us, we get food. If they kill us, then we die as we would have died inside. What came out of it, that it was that there was now abundance of food in Israel. You can go and read the rest. And while that man was sharing the food, the people knocked him down. Give me. And he fell and they trampled on him and they were grabbing the food. Before they knew it, he had died. So it is dangerous to share food to the crowd. Amen. If you share food and you don't have the Spirit of God, you are in danger. Among the brethren, it happened. The women from Greece began to murmur. Amen. That the Hebrew women were getting more food than they were getting. So brethren said, okay, the elders will not begin to share food. They should give themselves to prayer and the word of God. So appoint certain brethren And it's not any brother. Men full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that when they are troubling them, say, give me. What's wrong with you now? Give me the food. Why? The food is not even your own. You're behaving an idiot. He won't leave the food. I say, come. Did I hear idiot? Amen. Hallelujah. He will still be gentle and share the food. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what produces that? People will look at him and say, because that time that person said idiot, they turned and looked at him because they're expecting trouble. But he just looked at the sister and smiled and continued sharing the food. People say, how is he able to do that? How is he able to do that? Because there is something in him that you do not see that is making him do it. Amen. Now that is faith. Faith is that you believe that I will be able to do it. They say, go and do this. He said, I cannot. Come and lead in songs. Yeah, no. How can I stand in front of all these people and I will be singing? What if my voice cracks? But he said, no. God will help me. Father, as I go forward, you know my voice is not good. Help me when I go there. Fine-tune my voice. Amen. Or help me. Let me sing. But let the brethren not laugh at me. I can't look at people's eyes. When they make their faces like this, I will, my leg will start shaking. But you take grace from God and you go and you're able to sing. Brethren are lifted in the spirit. They rise. They worship God. They jump and nobody laughed at you. Nobody mocked you. And you came back. The Lord has done it. And they say, thank you. Even somebody might say, sister, come. That's wonderful. Let's pray for this sister. She's a vessel for the Lord. Hallelujah. That is faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith towards God is that your faith is not towards man. That's why you're able to disconnect from the Village Improvement League, the village meeting here in town. All everybody from your village in this town must belong to that place. And they contribute their dues. And when they come, they use that money to buy malt for you and buy beer and palm wine for themselves. Amen. Amen. And something happens in the village. They say, this thing, we'll not leave it like this. So I'm sure it could be these other people that will find out. And they take some money from that, your money you have contributed, and they go to Juju Man to find out. And you are all together. That is called Babylon. What relationship is there between light and darkness? But it's difficult to disconnect from that and refuse going there. Because if anything happens to you, who will take care of you in this strange land that is not your land? Amen. They will not help. Nobody will help you. But it is faith in God that is able to take care of me. Faith that say, though I perish, I perish. Amen. It is that faith. Faith in God is saying, I am going all the way with God. I don't worry what is going to happen, what tomorrow may bring. Hallelujah. But I'm going with God. If I perish, I perish. It is better for me to die in Christ than to die in the world. I'm ready to suffer anything because of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith is that you are not leaning on any other thing, but on Christ alone. What's that song? Peace built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust there, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. is sinking sand. The things we see in this world tells us that a lot of ground on earth is solid ground. But faith tells you to know that all those things are sinking sand. There is nothing on earth that cannot crumble and buckle. Only Jesus is where you stand. Amen. And you will not perish. Amen. When you die, all things are gone. All your earthly achievements, gone. There is no one you will go with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Jesus says that he is a present help. Even if you die, he goes with you to ensure that you will yet rise again. Hallelujah. So that is faith in God. Praise the Lord. So people depend on relationships. People are ready to compromise their walk with God because of uncle. My uncle, he's the one taking care of me. He's the one paying my school fees. One sister in the school, she said, I won't come anymore. I said, why? He said, my uncle that pays my fees says I should not be in SU again. So if I continue, he won't pay my fees anymore. The Lord says that, let me tell you whom you should fear. Fear him who is able to destroy the body and also cast the soul into hell. But do not fear him that is able to destroy the flesh and can do nothing about the body. Hallelujah. Next one, what is it? Oh, I've lost you people. I'm speaking to myself. What's the next one? Baptisms. Do you notice that he says, oh, even the men up there are no longer giving it to us. The doctrine of baptisms. There are three types of baptism. Amen. Do you know? There are three types of baptism. Baptism in water, baptism in the Spirit, and baptism into Christ. Amen. Amen. Time is failing us to touch them very well because there is somewhere I'm rushing to. That is the doctrine. Okay, these are all necessary. Some people believe when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you have said, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, that is the end of all things. Baptism is not necessary anymore. It is very necessary. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like somebody tells you that when you gain admission into the university, matriculation is not necessary. It is necessary. Or somebody tells you that when you have got a doctorate degree, that the conferment is not necessary. They are all necessary. If you do your final exams, you have passed your final exams for PhD, that does not make you a doctor necessarily. You are a doctor, yes, we have done all, but it has to be conferred on you. Amen. So baptism in water is when you are declaring openly to the world, to the visible and invisible world, that you are now for Jesus Christ. Praise God. And you come forward and you are baptized in water. So if you are here, you have given your life to Christ, you are walking along, walking right with Christ, you are not yet baptized in water, you need to get baptized in water. Amen. Amen. It's only those that are awake that are saying amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says, give not place to the devil. Have you heard that before? Give not place to the devil. Give not place to sleep. When you sit like this, you are given place to sleep. Before you know, your eyes will close. So maybe it might please God before we leave this camp that we will get baptized in water. Those who have not baptized in water. That is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in water is done by your fellow brethren. Some brethren will take you to the water and you declare that, yes, you are for Christ. Then they will dip you in water. What it signifies that you are dead. Amen. Amen. Colossians says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. That's what hid means, put out of sight. And that is the word for burial, buried. No matter how you love somebody, when that person dies, you need to put the person out of sight. If you don't put that person out of sight, after a while, you won't like that person anymore. Amen. You won't like him anymore. So you must put him out of sight. You won't like to hug him anymore. You know, some people, when somebody dies, of course, by emotion, they hold the person. Oh, they are holding the person and crying. After a while, you must leave that person. If you don't, people leave you. After a little while, you yourself will know that you should not hold that person anymore. Because when you go to hold, there are smells you perceive. Amen. Leave him for a little while, he will change color. And he will increase in size. And certain things will begin to come out. Amen. So put away. So if you're dead to the world, dead to sin, you must be put away from the world. You must be buried. That is baptism in water. You are put inside. You are covered up. When somebody is buried, he is covered up. When somebody dies, you take sand and sprinkle on him. Have you buried him? Brethren, is that how to bury somebody? When somebody dies, they announce that there's going to be a burial ceremony. So that day after everything, they take sand and sprinkle on that dead body. They have buried him. That in the same way, when you want to be baptized, they don't take water and sprinkle on you. That's not baptism. That word baptism is taken from the word baptizo, which means to cover over, to submerge. Amen. Put out of sight, bury. Baptism is not when somebody dips his hand in water with this finger and puts a mark of the cross with, you are not baptized. You are still out here. Amen. Baptism is you're put out of sight, buried there. And when you come up, it signifies something else. It signifies, it's pointing to what? What does it point to? Resurrection. Amen. So you come up a new man, a new life in Christ. All things are passed away. All things have become new. This is a new man. And we used to sing that song, I've got a new life. I have got a new life. If any man asks me, what's the matter with you, my friend? I will answer him and say, water baptized, Holy Ghost filled, I've got a new life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that's baptism. That's number one, baptized in water. After that, there is another baptism. This one, people do it. People baptize you in water. After that, there is another baptism. It is Jesus Christ that does that baptism himself. Hallelujah. How many of you want Jesus to baptize them? Amen. If you want Jesus to baptize you, wave your hand and shout, Hallelujah! Amen. So that one is called baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes and he takes you and he buries you in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And when you are coming out of it, do you really come out of it? Something is happening to you. You are speaking in other tongues. That's the first sign of it. Amen. But apart from that, you see that these things now easily manifest in your life. Praise God. If they do not manifest, say, touch me again. Say, the Lord, touch me again. Because that man was blind. Jesus healed him. But when you look at people, they are looking like trees. He's not seeing them well. If people are praising God, praise the Lord, he will think that trees are being moved by the wind. They are not clear. They are not sharp. He said, Lord, thank you for touching me, but do what? Touch me again. He had to touch me again. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and these are not showing, these are still showing, go back to God again. And when you go back to God again, it means you are starting with repentance again. Hallelujah! Amen. So that is baptism in the Spirit. Then there is baptism into Christ. There are scriptures that support baptism in the Spirit. John says that I baptize you in water, but there is somebody coming who is mightier than I. That person is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in what? In what? With fire. Baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, another name for it is you are born of the Spirit. And that's very important. Bible says that he that is born of the Spirit, what happens to him? He's like the wind. Praise God. He begins to live a spiritual life. He's like the wind. Nobody knows he's going forth and he's coming in. You need that. You need that in your life. Hallelujah. So that men cannot track you down. Praise God. So that familiar spirits can no longer handle you. They won't know how to handle you anymore. If you remain ordinary, life is difficult. Are we going away? Are we going away? Okay, we are fighting sleep. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, familiar spirits are no longer able to handle you because they don't know your beginning and your end. They can no longer predict you. How familiar spirits work is that they know that this is our child. This is our way. He must go this way. He will go this way. Then he will go this way. So they know where to wait for you. But when you are born of the Spirit, the roots of your life changes. So if they are waiting here, they wait and wait and you are gone. Hallelujah. This is very important, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as a child of God. If you're not, walking with God will become a very difficult thing. I have a way to illustrate it. In the time of Biafra, that was the type of bicycle people were riding. Amen. Win the war bicycle. This bicycle has no tire. No grease, because the economy made those things not to be available. No grease, no tire. So when they ride, what happens? The bicycle goes, because the chain is dry and the wheel is metal on dry ground. Amen. Now if you ride such a bicycle uphill, you are climbing a hill with such a bicycle, that's how you'll be suffering, grinding, and going. You're going anyway, but it is very difficult. Amen. That is worshiping God without the aid of the Holy Spirit. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, doing the will of God is much, much easier. Long suffering, it is far more easier and possible to engage in long suffering than when you hadn't the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we move to the next one because I want to live here. Don't get too weary. So, next one, Mark here, read for us. Identify the next one for us. Mark here, identify the next one. How many Mark here do we have? Did you say it? Laying on of hands. He's talking about hands being laid on you. Bible talks about the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Elders laying hands on you. Amen. And people laying hands on one another. if you have God's authority to do that. Amen. Now, what happens is that laying on of hands has some meanings. Praise God. What are the things that happen when hands are laid? It brings healing. Jesus taught it. Jesus practiced it. You can look at Matthew 16. You will see it. From verse 15 to 18, you will see it. In Luke 13, Jesus practiced it. Matthew 19, Mark 5. Hallelujah. Peter's wife was sick. Jesus Christ came in and took her by the hand and she got up. People that were blind, Jesus prayed for them, touched them. The leper, Jesus touched him and he was healed. Praise God. And Bible says, is there any that is sick among you? Let him call in the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be delivered. Amen. So it's an important doctrine in Christ. Very, very important. Because our tendency is more to run to the hospital. But we should learn to lay hands. You can even lay hands on your own head when no one is available to assist you. You can lay hands on your head. Call upon God. The headache would go. A sister gave a testimony how she was very sick in her house. Very sick. Stomach ache. She could not explain. She was alone with her little child. The husband was not around until she fell on the ground and was rolling on the ground. Then this little boy, very little boy, just came and put his hand. Maybe a little boy like, what's our brother's name? Enchukwu. Just came and put the hand, his hands, and said, in Jesus' name, in his baby words, in Jesus' name, and just then, relief came. Amen. So what happens when a child of God, especially one that is filled with the Spirit of God and walking in the will of God, lays hands on somebody? The Spirit of God begins to go into that person. Something happened. A woman was filled with an issue of blood for many years. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she went and touched the hem of his garment. There was a flow of the virtue of Jesus Christ from Christ into that woman, and that thing stopped. Amen. So when a believer lays hands on you, one filled with the Holy Spirit, the power to heal that is in God, that is in that person, flows into you and you are healed. Amen. This is a doctrine that we must believe. Another is that it is used for dedication or for grace. Amen. When you are going off to the university for the first time, your parents will call you and they will pray for you. They lay hands on you and they say things concerning you. They say, this child will not be lost there. Amen. He will go there. He will not be overtaken by the world. He will not imbibe the world. Though he will be in the midst of the world, he will not be of the world. He will remember that he belongs to Christ. And they say, let grace of God be upon him. When somebody is being sent out for ministry, like brethren that go on missions, the church will lay hands on them and pray for them, and they will receive grace. And they are dedicated, and they go. When they are going, it is not they that are going, it is the church that is going. Amen. Hallelujah. When a baby is born, the baby is brought to the church. We claim that baby from the influence of familiar spirits. Praise God. And we lay hands on that baby. And we rebuke spirits. And we say things concerning that baby. That baby is set aside for God. And that baby will be a child of God. Even though the world pushes him around, we have always seen that they always stand in God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We lay hands on people to bless them. Genesis 48, 14. Hallelujah. There, Jacob blessed. Am I right? Yes. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand witting, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Move on to the next verse. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Move on. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Amen. He laid his hands on them and he called on God and he said, bless these young people. Hallelujah. And they were blessed. And I believe that we will do that before we leave here. Before we leave this camp, God is going to give us the opportunity. We're going to lay hands on our young people. And we say, Lord, who has led us onto this way, unto thus far? Lord, who has guided us on this pathway? Lord, who has kept us from evil? Bless these lads. Bless this young man. Bless this young woman. Even now, we say, Lord, bless these ones. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then it is for transference of power. Praise God. When you lay hands on people, power is transferred to people. We can see it in Deuteronomy 34:9. We can see it in Numbers 27:23. Hallelujah. Then we lay hands to arrest spirits. Praise God. When a spirit is walking around, running riot in the life of a person, we bring that person and lay hands on that person and we arrest the spirit. Praise God. We bind spirits by laying on of hands. We bind spirits. So when children are giving trouble, when your child is not behaving the way you expect, don't just say, hey, this child, hey, I don't know. And before you know it, you are now cursing the child. No, say, come, my dear, come. And you lay hands on that child and you pray. Say, I bind the spirit of mischief in the name of Jesus Christ. It's arrested. That's what Nehemiah practiced. You can see it in the book of Nehemiah. Second Kings, you can see it also. And the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, 15 to 21. Write it down so that you can go and read. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15 to 21. If you are sleeping, you will not be able to write it. When you try to write, you see that you are drawing things that don't make meaning on your paper. So wake up and write it. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15 to 21. What happened there? In Israel, there were these uncircumcised Philistines who were coming around to sell things in the city on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, there should be no buying or selling, but they will come in to sell on the Sabbath day. So Nehemiah went to them and said, see, go out of the city. I don't want you to come and sell in the city on the Sabbath day anymore. Amen. They obeyed. They stayed outside the city. But on the Sabbath day, they would still come to the gate side, stay around. And the people inside knew. So the people would be tempted. They look this way. They need to buy something. They look this way. Nobody is looking. They slip out. They throw the money. They collect the thing. And they come inside. So buying and selling was still going on the Sabbath day. Amen. Until Nehemiah went and addressed those people and told them, don't even bring your things near the city. Don't bring it even outside the city gate. If I see any of you do it, hands will be laid on him. That laying on of hand means them. They arrest him and take him away. Amen. So we lay hands on spirits. When spirits are misbehaving in our children, amen. When spirits are troubling children of God, their health, we come and we lay hands to arrest those spirits and cast them into the abyss. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a woman called Athaliah. That's in 2 Kings 11. You can get it. 2 Kings 11. You can read it. And she was a wicked woman. Her son was king, so she was queen mother. And her son died. The king died. And she went and killed all her grandchildren. killed all her grandchildren and took over the government. And there was one little boy that God spared. She didn't notice that one, very last born, was hidden. Then, this priest, what's Brobomar's son's name? Jehoiada. Jehoiada the priest took that boy, hid him, took good care of him until the day it was for him to be made king. And he planned with the other priests and the stationed people. And they say, if this woman comes, somebody should lay hands on her. Amen. And so when they brought the boy, stood him by the pillar where the king should stand, and they announced, "Hail, King Josiah." Hey, she heard it from where she was in the house. She said, "What? Treachery, treachery." She ran and came. As she just appeared, they laid hands on her. Amen. Arrested her, took her away, and slew her. Hallelujah. We are going to be vigilant as people of God. When we see things going wrong in the lives of our people, we are going to call them and we're going to lay hands on them, lay hands on the spirits, and bind them. Amen. But then, in your house, watch over your children. Don't let evil spirits play with your children. Amen. Those things that operated in your life and used you as a dish rag when you were on the other side, and now you are born again, you have given birth to your child, and they think that they will still do the same thing in the life of your child. Lay hands, bind them. Amen. Arrest them. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Praise God. So you should not get up today and it begins to be as if it's a plaything. Anything you see, you lay hands on. You lay hands on. Amen. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Let the Spirit of God be the one prompting you to do so. Praise God. Because just as the power of the Spirit of God is transferred from you to somebody, that's also how a spirit can be transferred to you. If you lay hands unworthily. Praise God. The next thing we'll be discussing is resurrection. And we desire to dwell on that very carefully. But I do not think it is something for today. Hallelujah. So God gives opportunity. I believe tomorrow I should talk about resurrection. Praise God. But I just want to leave us with something. There's something I want to leave us with. What resurrection really is. So we go to 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll just pick it from verse 51. Amen. The only people that will be part of the saints that will come to execute judgment are resurrected people. Praise God. Because the Bible says that the dead do not praise Jah. You know, that's what the Bible says. Dead people do not praise Jehovah. It's living people that praise him. Amen. He said this another way. Let the living praise the Lord. God, Bible never called dead people to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is God of the living and not God of the dead. Are we in 1 Corinthians 15? Are we there? Good. Verse 51. If you started from verse 1, you will see that it's talking about resurrection all the way. He put up a very strong argument to say that there is resurrection. In verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." I show you a mystery. What it means is not saying, see, I'm going to show you America Wonder. I'm going to show you what you will not understand. No. I show you means I open up a secret to you. That which has been a secret, a wonder, people can't unravel. I'm going to open it up and show you, you see it, so that it's no longer a mystery. I'm going to demystify that which has been a mystery. Amen. We shall not all sleep. Remember, Christians don't die. The proper word for what people call death, the proper word for it is what? Sleep. So ordinarily, he would have said, we shall not all die. But he's saying, we shall not all sleep. We will not all sleep. Amen. Amen. Because people make fun. The ungodly, they jest. They say, everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. I laugh. Not everybody will die. There are people that will be alive and go into resurrection. So, in resurrection, there will be people who have gone to be with the Lord, whom the world calls dead, who will resurrect. Amen. And there are people who are not dead, who are not asleep, who are walking around like you and I, that will come into resurrection, changed into resurrection. Amen. Amen. So resurrection is not about dying and waking from sleep, from death. Resurrection is what? Let's read that place again. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay, so resurrection is change. Is what? Change. So, when we come tomorrow, God is going to give us a lot of grace. We're going to look at resurrection as change. How does change happen? Is it every change that is resurrection? It's not every change that is resurrection. We'll find out. Then there is a question that Brother Paul raised. He said that some people ask the question and say, how are the dead raised? Amen. How are the dead raised? And even if they are raised, with what type of body will they come out? Is it that they are they going to come as dead bodies? That body that has rotten in the grave, will they now? You know, in horror films, they show dead people with their bodies dripping in decay, coming out like that. Have you seen such things before? That's not resurrection. But it's change, oh? Because they have changed now. How they are now is not how they were before. But that's not how we're going to, what we're going to see. So how will the dead be raised? With what body will they come? That's an important question that was asked. Another one is partaking in resurrection. How will we partake in resurrection? How will we partake? You know that word partake, it's not a big English word. It's just a simple word, partake, parts. Take, that is to take part, to take your own portion of this thing called resurrection. So we're going to see how it happens. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to look at scriptures and see many things. For instance, the parable of the sower says something about resurrection. You know, there are two. The parable of the sower has two parts. Do you know? Part one and part two. Do you know? Do you know? Part one is the one that says a man went to sow seed. Some fell here, some fell here, some fell here. But part two is one that the man went and sowed good seeds. Then another man came and sowed tares. You remember that one? That's parable of the sower too. But people don't know. Amen. And there are many other things we are going to look at. So we'll pray about it. We're going to be looking at the two cities that are described in Revelation chapter 21. It talks about two cities. Amen. Or two women. That's what we see there. Praise God. So you can go and read up that place. Revelation chapter 21. Read about the two women. You can go and read Matthew chapter 13. About the parable of the sower too. Part 2. And when we come, we're going to look at it. We're going to ask God, because the matter of revelation is, the Bible calls it mystery. God wants to open it up. If we pray very well, he will open it for us. Amen. And we know how we'll partake in it. So what we'll try to do now is to look at the basic doctrines of Christ. The basic doctrines of Christ. That we must repent from sin. We must repent from works that have no fruit. We must repent from the unfruitful works of darkness. Hallelujah. And that we must be baptized into Christ. Baptism simply means to give ourselves over wholly, be submerged into Christ. Amen. The other one is that we must have faith in Christ. We must believe him absolutely. Hallelujah. And that we must yield to the doctrine of laying on of hands of the presbytery because of the dividends that are in it. Will then come to resurrection. We have talked a little, we started by talking about eternal judgment. Those are the doctrines of Jesus Christ. That's what the church should be preaching. Every other thing we are discussing is growth from these basic things. But people are not talking about that. They are talking about prosperity. They are talking about enjoying life. They are talking about how you get big jobs. It is the will of God that you should not suffer hunger. Amen. That you should not lack bread. But that is not what we are going to be talking about. Bible says that's what the heathen seek after. Amen. Those are the things that the heathens are seeking after. But we are going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise God. Thank you for being patient. Sorry if I have wearied you. But please, really do think on these things. And God bless you. Amen. Thank you.